This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Ann Schiebert, a psychologist and specialist in the treatment of trauma, chemical dependency, dual diagnosis, and codependency at one of America's largest HMOs. She also works in the hospital and emergency department evaluating psych crisis patients. And Dr. Schiebert, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Oh, it is totally my pleasure.
It's certainly our pleasure to have you with us, and thanks for your time. So, Dr. Schiebert, today we're going to speak about the opioid epidemic in teens, of course. How did you become interested in this topic? Let's start there today as we kick things off.
Well, that's a two-part answer. So, for 15 years, I've been working very closely with a group of physicians who prescribed what's called Suboxone, S-U-B-O-X-O-N-E, for teens, young adults, and adults. And I lead what's called the Suboxone group for the HMO that I work for. And Suboxone, by the way, is an opioid antagonist that opioid addicts take as a harm reduction treatment, and it really works. And what it does is it takes the pleasure away from using. So if you shoot up with heroin, you won't get high. Being given the honor to work with heroin addicts and opioid prescription abusers interested me greatly because opioids are, I can't think of a more difficult drug there is to give up. And I wanted to see if together, if the addicts and I, if we could discover a way for them to live a clean and sober life. And then the second part to that is on a personal note. I was forced to become aware of it and focused on opioid dependence because my son was an opioid addict, and he died from an accidental overdose of methadone. So my work in this area is really personal.
I would say it definitely is personal for you, and I can't thank you enough for what you're doing in the space and the impact that you're having. And thanks so much. We really appreciate that. Tell us what are opioids or opiates. Get into some of those details to help the listeners better understand.
Confuses the public. So to the public, the words opioids and opiates are often used interchangeably. An opiate is a drug naturally derived from the flowering opium poppy. And the drugs like morphine and codeine and heroin fall in the opiate category. So those are the natural ones. An opioid is a broader term that includes opiates and refers to any substance, natural or synthetic, that binds to the brain's opioid receptors, which are the parts of the brain responsible for controlling pain, reward, and addictive behaviors. Synthetic opioids include prescription painkillers like Vicodin or Oxycontin, fentanyl, and methadone. And by the way, fentanyl is such a dangerous drug, I can't say enough about it.
Certainly some eye-opening information for sure. And how do opioids affect brain development in a teen?
So that's very complicated, and I'm going to try to make it simple because there's a whole lot of information about how dopamine is goes through the brain and into the spinal system and all of that. But for teens, taking opioids profoundly impacts brain development because it interrupts the natural maturation process. And once brain development is altered, there is just no going back. And here's what happens, and what happens produces a very serious risk, or many risks, that can lead to lifelong challenges in many areas of a teen's life. So here's what happens. Opioids break the normal development of the reward pathways and can lead to the brain becoming fixated on finding more drugs. That would be the lifetime organizing principle, and that in and of itself is scary. Next, opioids affect critical social transitions. So one, someone's focused on getting and using drugs and not dating or sports or college, then that is a social transition that can't be repaired unless you get in recovery, and that is a big job, especially for teenagers. Then next, exposure to opioids during adolescence interrupts the precise sequencing of brain development, and it can impair cognitive function and change the way the brain physically develops. I found that a scary thing. And the adolescent brain and body become washed in this powerful, sedating, euphoria-producing chemical, or the chemicals that are opioids. And that becomes the life goal. I call it like it sucks your soul. And teens with their already undeveloped brain just focus in on this, and that's life.
That ought to grab the attention of the audience for sure. Today we are with Dr. Ann Schiebert, a psychologist and a specialist in the treatment of trauma, chemical dependency, dual diagnosis, and codependency at one of America's largest HMOs here on eHealth Radio's Health News and Mental Health Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Schiebert, how do we keep our teens safe from opioids?
So that's really important, and I didn't used to think it was so important, but it is critical. So keep your teen away from pain medications unless it is critically necessary. And there was a study that I like to cite from the University of Michigan that found that legitimate use of opioids prescribed and taken as directed that were taken by 12th graders. And these 12th graders had little drug experience, and they disapproved of illegal drug use, including marijuana. So that was the test group. That this predicts future opioid misuse after high school. I thought that was just astonishing. And this study's further findings discovered that those who legitimately take opioids by 12th grade were 33% more likely to misuse prescription opioids after high school by age 23 than those with no history of an opioid prescription. This is how lethal they are. So the next thing is, don't teach your teens that if their physician prescribes it, it must be okay. This is a myth. Teach your teen that it is skills, not pills, that are the most effective treatment for pain. And parents need to know the names of opioids and what they are, and help their teen avoid them so they won't fall into what I call the quicksand effect, which is what happens when our body quickly builds up a tolerance to opioids and needs more and more to have the same effect that was initially had. And lastly, teach your teen that sharing drugs is not okay. There is a popular thing in the teen culture these days called pill parties, and that is you take every prescription, no matter what it is, out of your parents, grandparents, you go into an open house for real estate, and you take the pills out of the medicine cabinet, and then you mix them all together at a party, and you take them, and you don't know what you're taking. Make them aware of that is just not okay.
Wow, I've never heard of that. That is I don't even know what to say in response to that. That is just so dangerous. What should we do for pain instead of taking prescription painkillers?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of options. And by the way, research has shown that taking Tylenol often does just as good a job as relieving pain as an opioid. I thought that was interesting because that's not how it's sold. And watching your nutrition can help. Lose weight, limit sugar and caffeine intake. If you have pain and extra weight, you're going to be in more pain. And biologically based therapies such as ginseng or fibromyalgia and chronic pain and melatonin for insomnia. Be sure to check with your physician when you decide to take a biologically based therapy. Don't just go to a store and say, okay, I'll take that, because you don't know how it might mix with your prescribed medications. So manipulative and body-based pain care, such as chiropractic care and massage. I am a big proponent of massage. It helps our body so much, and it helps deal with pain. And then physical methods of pain relief, such as hydrotherapy, which is hot and cold. And it's then there's myofascial therapy, which is a gentle blend of stretching and massage. Also, alternative medical systems such as acupuncture. That has, where I work, lots of folks go to acupuncture, and they come back and tell me that it really has worked for them. And then also there's mind-body interventions such as mindfulness meditation and guided imagery. And I don't mean to do a shameless plug, but in my book, Getting Your Teen Past the Opioid Epidemic, there's a whole list of alternative things that you can do rather than take opioids.
Certainly has been informative, and can't thank you enough for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. In conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, anything else you'd like to share as we conclude today?
Yeah, two little things quickly. Remember that there are more alternative treatments for pain than there are opioid medications. And offer the options first. And the last thing is brain spotting. It's a new technique. It's been shown to be so beneficial for pain treatment and performance enhancement. Look into that. I'm certified in it, and I've seen it. I do it, and I know it works.
Well, that certainly is good news on that front. Dr. Schiebert, where can listeners get more information on yourself and also be have a means of contact with you?
Well, they can go to my website, www.drannschiebert.com. And all my information is there, and I do always respond to emails, so feel free to write me.
And that certainly is convenient, and thank you so much again for all that you do and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Ann Schiebert, a psychologist and a specialist in the treatment of trauma, chemical dependency, dual diagnosis, and codependency at one of America's largest HMOs. And for contact and for further details, visit drannschiebert.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.